by far the one that's traveled the furthest distance to be with us this evening. He comes from France, and we feel very blessed to have him with us this evening. Brother Dembski has chosen as his subject, the fleece of wool. The fleece of wool. Brother Dembski.
Dear brethren, I am very happy of that blessed opportunity of being here. And I would like to express my thankfulness to the theater class for that opportunity. And my thankfulness goes also to our Heavenly Father, because that we know that from Him comes all excellent grace. I have greetings to convey, but I think it would be better for me to avail myself of the testimony meeting of tomorrow to convey those greetings to all of you. The fleece of wool will be our study. In the times of the church, when the Israelites were to be attacked by Midianites and Amalekites and peoples of the east, Gideon, chosen by God for defending and delivering his brethren, wanted to be sure that God would be with Israel in the fight, and he asked a sign from God to get that assurance. It was the sign of the fleece of wool. We read the account in the 6th chapter of Judges, verses 33 to 40. Then all the Midianites and the Amalekites and the children of the east assembled themselves together. And they passed over and pitched in the valley of Jezreel. But the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet, and a visor was gathered together after him. And he sent messengers throughout all Manasseh, and they also were gathered together after him. And he sent messengers unto Asher, and unto Zebulun, and unto Naphtali, and they came up to meet him. And Gideon said unto God, If thou wilt save Israel by my hands, as thou hast spoken, behold, I will put a fleece of wool on the threshing floor. If there be dew on the fleece only, and it be dry upon all the ground, rather upon all the earth, then shall I know that thou wilt save Israel by my hand, as thou hast spoken. And it was so. For he rose up early on the morrow, and pressed the fleece together, and wringed the dew out of the fleece, a bowlful of water. And Gideon said unto God, Let not thine anger be kindled against me, and I will speak but this once. Let me prove, I pray thee, but this once with the fleece. Let it now be dry only upon the fleece, and upon all the ground let there be dew. And God did so that night, for it was dry upon the fleece only, and there was dew on all the ground. Encouraged by those signs, Gideon kept on making preparations for the battle, being assured of the final victory. But as for us, we wonder what lesson God prepared in these signs for the spiritual Israelites of the Gospel Age. We wonder, why did the dew fall first on the fleece and the second time on the ground. Why not first on the ground and the second time on the fleece? What does the dew represent? It is a symbol of the blessing from above, as we read in Genesis chapter 27, verse 28. And God give thee of the dew of heaven. The dew falling first on the fleece is then a picture of the blessings of God imparted first of all to a small class of persons. Here we see the reason why the dew fell on the fleece to begin with and not on the ground. The reverse would not be conformable to God's plan. And so it appears clearly that the fleece may only represent here the little flock to whom it is the Heavenly Father's good pleasure to give the kingdom. That it is so, the fleece itself proves. A fleece of wool is the skin of an animal with its wool. Here it was undoubtedly a sheepskin with its wool. Let us see what lessons we may draw from that picture. The fleece implies the death of a sheep. It can be taken from the sheep only after the death of the animal. Then it speaks of sacrifice, of death, and represents those who have made a covenant with God by sacrifice, who have been baptized into the death of Christ. The fleece covered the body of the animal and represented then that body, and then further it represented a special body, the body of Christ, and more precisely the sacrifice of the justified human nature of the body of Christ, the Church. Following that picture, we may say that what happened to the Gideon fleece of wool involved a lesson which could develop only after the death of the head of the body, only after the death of Christ. Furthermore, the fleece was of one piece. That speaks to us of the oneness of the body of Christ. All the members of that body are to be one and will be one. They are to be bound and they will be bound by the one spirit, the Spirit of God, and by the one mind, the mind of Christ. They are to be one, and they will be one, one with another, and one altogether, even as the Lord was and is one with God. John chapter 17, verse 21. That thought militates strongly in favor of the interpretation that in the picture of the fleece, the Church is meant. The fleece was a fleece of wool. The wool, when we meditate upon, also offers valuable lessons. The wool guards against the cold. It keeps warmth. To the wool are associated thoughts of warm brotherly love, of warmth generated by the spirit of love, the spirit of sacrifice, which leads to spend one's life for the brethren according to our Lord's words. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. John chapter 15, verse 13. Another property of the wool is to absorb water. It absorbs the dew and keeps the water, and it swells when receiving a great amount of water. So the church, the delight receiving the dew of blessings from above, they absorb the water of truth and keep it preciously and let it help them grow as new creatures. This involves an appreciation of the blessings coming from above, a love for God, for the truth, and for all that comes from God. This also involves a constant desire of communion with God and of receiving the water of life as expressed in Psalm 42, verse 1 and 2. As the heart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. And in Jeremiah chapter 15, verse 16, thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy words were unto me a joy and the rejoicing of mine heart. The purpose of the descent of the antitypical dew on the antitypical fleece of wool during the Gospel Age is to take out of the nations a people for God's name, to develop them as new creatures, to make them copies of his only begotten Son, that they may be used in the future to grant his blessings to the whole world of mankind. But let us consider what Gideon did with the fleece. He rose up early on the morrow and pressed the fleece together and wringed the dew out of the fleece, a bowl full of water. He pressed the fleece together. The fleece pressed together may be an illustration of the trials endured by the little flock during the whole Gospel Age. The Apostle Paul wrote, "We are pressed on every side, yet not straitened, perplexed, yet not unto despair, pursued, let not forsaken, smitten down, let not destroyed, always bearing about in the body the dying of Jesus, that the life also of Jesus may be manifested in our body." 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8 to 10. But the context does not seem to sustain such an interpretation. The fleece was pressed together not during the night, but early in the morning. It would seem that we should seek the antitypical fulfillment in a time early in the morning, after the antitypical Gideon rose up. We all agree Gideon typifies our Lord. The rising up of Gideon corresponds undoubtedly to the standing up of Michael, referred to in Daniel chapter 12, verse 1, and consequently to the second presence of the Lord. That rising up occurred early in the morning. It is indeed early in the morning, at the dawn, in the very beginning of a new day, that our Lord came back, and that new day is the day of his presence. The Apostle Paul calls it the day of the Lord in the first epistle of Corinthians chapter 5 verse 2. When our Lord rose up, one of the first things he did was to deal with the members of his body. He awakened the sleeping ones, and since the time of that awakening, he is changing in the twinkling of an eye those who end their course as overcomers. It is the first resurrection which he is carrying out. Let us not forget, dear brethren, that the work of the first resurrection is closely linked up to the return of the Lord, as the following verses point out. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I come again, and will receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. John chapter 14, verse 2 and 3. We repeat, I come again, and will receive you unto myself. To receive the disciples to himself can be only by the awakening, the sleeping ones from the dead, and changing the others at the moment of their death. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we that are alive, that are left unto the coming, the presence of the Lord, shall in no wise precede them that are fallen asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead of Christ shall rise first. Then we that are alive, that are left, shall together with them be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 15, 16, and 17. We repeat too, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we that are alive, that are left, shall at the same time, not the harvest time, with them be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Here too, the resurrection of the church is forcibly connected with our Lord's return. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51-52. The last trump, the trump of God, the Jubilee trump, is being sounded, as it is explained in the second volume. And consequently, we are to accept the Apostle Paul's words that the dead in Christ have been raised, and that the change in the twinkling of an eye is being fulfilled. The whole change from one state to another is expressed in these words. It is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 42, 43, 44. This change appears to be well illustrated in the pressing together of the fleece by Gideon and wringing of the dew out of it. In what Gideon did, there was indeed a change from one state to another. The dew returned by the wool of the fleece during the night was in such a way transferred as water in a bowl. How well this represents the passing from the spirit begotten state here on earth, the fleece was put on the ground, to the state of the birth of the spirit in heavenly conditions as perfected and completed and glorified new creatures. All the water pressed and gathered out of the fleece filled completely a bowl prepared by Gideon. It was exactly what the bowl could contain. There was not one drop more, nor one drop less. And this is surprising. God foresaw that the dew fallen on the fleece would give the amount of water necessary to fill the bowl, but no more. How well it carries the lesson that God foresaw a determined number of souls who will become members of the bright class of the little flock. There will be 144,000. Not one member more, not one member less. Another lesson that may be drawn from the bowl full of water is that the spirit begotten ones, when they are changed and have received new vessels, spiritual bodies, will have bodies which will exactly fit to their new nature. They will have those bodies they will need. After this first sign, Gideon was not completely satisfied. He asked for another one and said unto God, "Let not thine anger be kindled against me, and I will speak but this once. Let me prove, I pray thee, but this once with the fleece. Let it now be dry only upon the fleece, and upon all the ground let there be dew." And God did so that night, for it was dry upon the fleece only, and there was dew on all the ground. This time, the dew was on all the ground, on all the earth, according to the French version Darby. And indeed, it will be so in the future. The blessings secured by our Lord's sacrifice will come to the whole world after the church will have had their blessings. These will be blessings of eternal life on earth. The raising of the dead will take place, and the opportunity will be given to each one of the human race to attain to the original perfection lost in Eden. Sorrows, pains, sicknesses will flee away, justice, peace, love, and happiness will flourish. All the earth will become as a garden of Eden. The incorrigible ones, the willful sinners, will be destroyed, and after the final trial, at the end of the millennium, there will be no more deaths, as the scriptures say. That will be the meaning of the dew fallen upon all the ground. And let us note, brethren, that in the case of the dew fallen upon the fleece, the dew was not absorbed by the earth. It did not penetrate into the earth, but was retained by the wool of the fleece, and then was transferred as water into a bowl. But when it fell on the ground, it remained in the ground and brought the water necessary to the growth of the vegetation. Thus was shown the fact that the blessings which mankind will receive will be of the earthly kind, of the human kind. Their effect, their result, will always remain on earth. Mankind will absorb them and will keep them, availing themselves of them during the whole eternity. Those blessings are foreseeably and wonderfully described in the 35th chapter of Isaiah prophecy. But as for the church, their blessings will be of another kind, of spiritual kind. They will pass from earthly state and condition to heavenly state and condition, as we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 49. As we have borne the image of the earthly, of Adam, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly, of the rest and glorified Christ. And in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2, we shall be like him, for we shall see him even as he is. And so shall we ever be with the Lord, as the apostle in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 verse 17. And that transfer process is well depicted in the dew fallen on the fleece and then gathered out of it in a bowl. Nevertheless, something of the church will remain of us. The fleece of wool will remain. But let us be more precise. The dry fleece of wool will remain. What may it represent? What of the church will remain on earth? Of course, the elements constituting the human body will remain. The dust they are will return to the dust. But it seems that the dry fleece of wool represents rather something else. It may rather represent the remembrance people will have of the members of the church. When the general resurrection takes place, people will note that some are lacking among them. They will ask, "But where is my old neighbor or my old friend?" And they will learn that their old neighbor or their old friend or their father or mother, brother or sister, grandfather or grandmother are now in heaven with the Lord as members of the glorified little flock of the Bride of Christ. People will know that those members were accounted worthy of a share in the portion of the spiritual blessings prepared by God to the little flock because of their faithfulness to Him, to His word, and because of their service for the truth and the brethren, and because of their love for one another and even for their enemies. And people will keep them in memory and will say, "This one and that one are born in Zion," according to Psalm 87, verse 5, which we read, "Yea, of Zion it shall be said, this one and that one was born in her." They were born in Zion, in the spiritual part of the kingdom. They have had a share in the first resurrection to honor, glory, and immortality, and they will be henceforth, ever, with the Lord. These people will know and keep this. People will know and keep in memory. For Gideon, those two signs given in connection with the fleece of wool were a great encouragement. They gave him confidence, the assurance that God will be with him, and that the battle against the Midianites was sure to be won. And indeed, it was. May they also give confidence to us, dear brethren. If God, in such a way, looked after the fleshly Israelites, we may be sure that he looks all the more after the spiritual Israelites. Let us totally trust in him and rely upon him. Let our faith be so active as was Gideon's. Having God with us, let us have this confidence that trusting in him, in his providential care, and relying upon our Redeemer's merits, which make up for our shortcomings, and fighting the good fight of faith according to our abilities, daily encouraged and strengthened by the grace from above, we will win the battle against our enemies, the world, the flesh, and the devil, just as Gideon and his little band of 300 men overcome their enemies. May it be so. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Debski, for the valuable lesson on the fleece of wool. And then we'll have Brother Debski close this service, and then please be seated after that again.
Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank thee for all the many blessings thou hast given us unto this day. We are especially thankful for thy only begotten Son, our Lord Jesus, whom thou hast sent, that he may die for us, and not only for us, but also for the whole world of mankind. We also appreciate that privilege we have to walk now in his footsteps, to prove our faithfulness, and we ask thy help that we may be faithful in all matters. We pray for a greater measure of thy spirit, that we may all the more love thee, know thy wonderful truth, and that we may be able to comfort one another and to help one another. We thank thee also for the blessings received today, and we hope thy grace will be with us the next 2 days. We also pray for all thy people all over the world, and we have confidence that we'll be with all of them and with all of us, and with this assurance we rely on thee. In the name of Jesus.